here and one is to love the dunya. Kasb-e dunya jaiz hai, to earn dunya is permissible. Hubb-e dunya jaiz nahi, to love the dunya is not permissible. The common example we give, keep a million, 10 million check in your pocket right next to your heart, but don't let 1 cent go in your heart. Have the dunya as much as possible. Have as many factories as possible, as many shops, homes, jaiz, halal, no problem. But don't have the love of those things. And what is the love of it? That if Allah takes it away, there is no difference in our condition. And if Allah gives 10 times more, then also there is no difference in our condition. Now our friends don't change. We had, when we were young, or when we were battling, we had our friends. Now when we got lot of money, then we don't forget those friends. They still our friends. They are still poor. But no problem, they still our friends. And we still on that level. Allah has given us. And we use it for our other friends, etc. That is when dunya hasn't gone in the heart. Kashti paani ke muhtaj zarur hai. Lekin usi waqt tak ye paani kashti ke liye mu'in aur mufeed hai. Jab tak ke paani kashti ke andar daakhil na ho. Also there is another famous common example that the boat, the ship is in need of water. It can't do without water. If there isn't water, the ship can't move. But that water is beneficial until such time that the water doesn't come in the boat. As long as it's out of the boat, it is beneficial. Dunya is beneficial for us. We need the dunya as long as the dunya doesn't come in our heart. What does dunya? Allah gives a person, he's monthly, he's earning 20,000, 50,000, he's got lot of income, and he's spending in the path of Allah. This dunya he's earning his akhirat all the time. He's spending it in good causes, wherever he can, he spends it in good places. He's earning his akhirat all the time. The dunya is the means. But when the love of dunya will come in his heart, then he will be destroyed. The love of this dunya, or the dunya goes in his heart, and he becomes soul and hidden. Somebody said that topi is why we wear. One, wisdom, to keep our heads from becoming swollen. It keeps our head, a helmet, keeps your head in size. Because if the topi isn't there and you get too much deen also or too much dunya, your head will go out of shape. So the topi and the amama will keep it more in shape, inshallah. The more better helmet, inshallah. Kashti ke andar pani ka dakhil ho jana, kashti ki halakat aur tabahi ka sabab. If there's one small hole in the boat and the water starts coming in, now there's a destruction of that boat and that ship. Aap dar kashti halake kashti ast. Aap andar zere kashti pasti ast. Pani ke andar, pani kashti ke andar, kashti ki halakat ka sabab hai. When the water comes inside the boat, inside the ship, it's a means of destroying. That very thing on which, without which the boat could not do, that very same becomes the cause of the destruction. Without money in this dunya for us to live, it's difficult. It's impossible. Allah has made the means. You need your money. But keep your money in your pocket. Keep it in your safes. Keep it in your bank account. Don't let it come in the heart. In the heart, that is the place only for Allah Ta'ala. Keep millions in your safe. Keep millions in your bank. Islam is not against that at all. But don't let 1 cent also come in your heart. Aur paani kashti ke niche, kashti ke rawani ka zariya hai. And when the water is below the ship, it is the means of that ship flowing and just moving all the time. Dunya hasil karne se kaun mana karta hai? Who is stopping a person from acquiring the dunya? Albatta, dunya ko deal mein rakhne se mana kiya jata hai. But a person is prohibited from keeping the dunya in his heart. Kyunki qalb ko Haq Taala ne apni yaad ke liye paida farmaya hai. Allah has given us the heart for His remembrance. The heart is the exclusive place for Allah Ta'ala. Nobody else should come in the heart. Deel ke ghiza sirf zikrullah hai. Irshad farmate hai, ala bi zikrillah tatma'innul qulub. The food of the heart is the zikr of Allah. And the heart only finds contentment with the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat gives the example. But on gunas, Hazrat gives this example, but it fits in here also. Like a compass, the needle only finds itminan when it is facing north. The minute you take it away from there, you find that needle shaking violently. It wants to come back to its place. the heart will only find contentment with the zikr of Allah. And until the heart is not making the zikr of Allah, you will find that heart also vibrating violently. Whether that person goes to nightclubs, whether that person goes to other places of guna, whether that person is watching filthy videos, it is all that needle that is vibrating violently. And that person doesn't find peace of mind. He doesn't find enjoyment, contentment. Such a person, whether he is at work, he does not find happiness. When he comes home, he doesn't find happiness. When he's with his friends, he doesn't find happiness. He'll find he's picking up a quarrel here, he's finding problems there. But that person who's got the zikr of Allah, the deen of Allah, wherever he is, he will find contentment. Which Hazrat says in a beautiful poem, that the sinners and the non-believers, even when they are on the shore, they are in tofan. They don't find happiness. And a person who has got his iman and has got his obedience of Allah Ta'ala, he's in the middle of a storm in the sea, but he's like a person who's on the shore. His contact is with Allah Ta'ala, and he's happy whatever Allah has decreed for him. خوب سن لو کہ دلوں کو چین اور اطمینان صرف اللہ تعالی ہی کی یاد سے میسر ہوتا ہے. بس قلب ایک شاہی محل ہے. The heart is a palace جس میں صرف شہنشاہ حقیقی سکونت کر سکتا ہے. And only the real king, the real sovereign can live in this heart. دل کوئی بھٹیا خار نہیں ہے. The heart is not some مسافر خانہ. The heart is not a hotel کہ جس کو چاہو ٹھہرا لو. That whoever you want to and you let that person live here. Today this visitor, tomorrow another visitor. Today this traveler, tomorrow another traveler. The heart is not like that. The heart is that royal palace where only the real king can live and sit in. اگر ٹھہراؤ گے تو اللہ کے نزدیک ظالم اور گستاخ سمجھے جاؤ گے. If you will put somebody else there, then you have done the greatest wrong to Allah Ta'ala. So the heart is the place only for Allah Ta'ala, and we should not keep anyone or anything else in the heart. May Allah Ta'ala give us the reality and the tawfiq. Listening to it is one thing, and bringing the reality of it is another. By pondering about it, attending the majlis zikr regularly, being reminded, making zikrullah daily, consciously, making tilawat of Quran, our namazes, etc., staying away from gunas, Allah will grant this. And it will come to us. And when Allah is in the heart, that person becomes a king himself. He will be such an amir in his faqir. Outwardly, he will have all his poverty, he will be a faqir, but he will be the greatest amir. And we see it in reality. What is the case of our buzurgs, wise, wherever they are, we are inquiring about them. When they come here, we want to give the best. We are fighting with one another that they must come to my house, must come to my house. And when they come, we want to give them the best. They haven't got anything of dunya. They've got Allah in their hearts. And a person in whose heart Allah is, that person, Allah grants him respect. People go out of their way that when the buzurgs are here, we're going to buy our new cars. And the first person to sit in the car must be my buzurg, must be my sheikh. Why is that? Because Allah is in their hearts. Allah gives them the izzat. And this is just the small izzat of this dunya. What izzat Allah will give in the akhirah, that we cannot imagine. And we know they don't pay for this izzat. If there is a government officer who comes or something, all the people are paid to go in advance and go and prepare everything. If they don't go there, get their pay, they won't do anything. And all the 21 gun salute, everything else which they get, it's all paid for. It is not done in love. It is not done with respect. It is not done with aqidah. Yeah, that buzurg will shout you, reprimand you, and yet you want to do it. And you don't get a single cent wages, but you sacrifice everything. And in fact, if your buzurg accepts your one bottle of attar, you feel it an honor that he has accepted something from you. So this, why is this? Allah is there. And this is not exclusive to any one person, whoever will make the effort of bringing Allah within us. And does that Allah Ta'ala, that we acquire Allah, we acquire the sifat, it is that it has to come completely within us. And many times there are certain things that are preventing it. That's why a person is not rising in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Not that a person becomes famous. Hazrat Maulana Palanpuri, Damat Barakatum says, Mashhoor hona aur hai, مقبول ہونا اور ہے. ٹو بی فیمس از سم تھنگ ایلس اینڈ ٹو بی ایکسپٹیڈ بائی اللہ از سم تھنگ ایلس. دیر مے بی اے پرسن ہو از ویری فیمس بٹ ہی از ناٹ ایکسپٹیڈ بائی اللہ تعالی. دیر مے بی انادر پرسن ہو از ناٹ فیمس ایٹ آل, نو بڈی نوز ہم, بٹ ہی از ایکسپٹیڈ بائی اللہ تبارک و تعالی. امام رازی رحمتہ اللہ علیہ ہیز گیون ون بیوٹیفل پوائنٹ آن ڈسکسنگ دیٹ وائی لیلۃ القدر اللہ از ہیڈن اٹ. Allah hasn't fixed and told us exactly, specifically, which night is Laylatul Qadr. If Allah had done that, then we would only appreciate that one night of Ramzan really. And all the other nights, we will just sort of discard them. Like that he writes further on and he gives examples that there are certain gunas which really make Allah Ta'ala unhappy, naraz. But Allah has not specified them. Otherwise a person will only save himself from those gunas and will not worry about the other gunas. Like if you know that your father, your husband, your wife, there are certain things which they really dislike, then you only save yourself from that. And the other things you don't worry, you do. In the same way, nekis, there are certain nekis which are greatly loved by Allah Ta'ala, but Allah did not specify them. If Allah specified them, we will only give importance to them. Like that, amongst the people, Allah Ta'ala's walis, there are those, but Allah has kept them hidden. If we had known them, then we will only show respect to them. And we should have discarded the other people like the other people are nothing. That they don't have any value. But by us not knowing, we respect every person. And whoever we meet, we tell them dua karjo. We want dua for them. If we knew who that wali is, we won't ask anyone else for duas. We'll just ask him for duas. So like that, there are certain nekis, there are certain gunas. We don't know, but we must try and make an effort that which is that neki that I must bring in my life, then I will be also accepted by Allah. Which is that guna that is in my life because of which Allah dislikes me. On that, Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali writes a beautiful story of Zahid al-Kuhi. Zahid is a person who abstinence, who stays away from dunya. He has got nothing to do with the dunya. Kuh is the top of the mountain. The Zahid, this great buzurg, he went and lived on the top of the mountain and he completely cut himself away from dunya. And he made a promise to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I will go and live there and whatever food you send to me in the form of the wind blowing and the fruit falling from the tree, I will just eat there. I will not go and earn my living. I will not go and pick any fruit also from the tree. Only that which falls down, I will eat there. He went, he started. For a few days, for a little while, it carried on. But then Allah Ta'ala wanted to punish him because he did this not on Allah's, depending on Allah. He did not say, Inshallah. He felt that I am pious, that I can stay away from the dunya. I don't need the dunya. And this is a thing, a weakness, which comes commonly in us also. Many times we say, I am tired of this house now. If I just have a little outbuilding, one room is enough for me. It is a da'wah we are making, that I can live in one room. And if we have to live in one room, then we know what our condition becomes. Sometimes we say, I don't want these big cars anymore. I can just now, travel in bus and bicycle is enough for me. Then when it has to come, then we know what our condition is. Many times we say, that if I lived in the time of the Sahaba, it should have been so nice. But if we lived at that time, we should have been the munafiqs and the kafirs of that time. Because the Sahaba were chosen. We were not in that list. So who wasn't in that list? Were the munafiqs, were the kafirs. So we were not fit to live in that time. But this type of things come in at many times. That I should have done this, I should have done that. If my father should send me to a darulum, I should also become an alim. In other words, be happy with your lot. Many times a person, as far as marriage also is concerned, if I married such a pious woman, if my wife was pious today, I should be a different person. A wife feels that if my husband was such a maulana, my husband was this person, was that person, I should also have some position. Allah knows exactly and Allah has said it. Everyone be happy with our law. So this type of da'wah, Allah doesn't like it. So this was, he was a great buzurg on his place. But what I say, there are certain gunas in our life, in the form of piety, and we don't recognize them. And they are stopping us from progressing. There are certain nekis which we are not paying any importance to. Like sometimes a person doesn't pay importance to sunnahs. And he wants to progress spiritually, but he's not progressing. Because there are certain nekis which are lacking in his life. and we have to ask Allah Ta'ala for that. So this great Buzurg, he made this and he went there. So Allah wanted to punish him for that. So Allah stopped the wind to blow in that place where he was. Top of the mountain, the wind blows much more. But Allah stopped it. It's in Allah's control. No fruit was falling from the trees for quite a while. And when the pangs of hunger started having their effects, he started forgetting his promise also. And he went mad in his hunger and he left his place. And he started looking for his fruit. And he started picking fruit and he broke his promise which he made with Allah Ta'ala. When he did this, then Allah wanted to punish him more. So how was Allah's punishment? That Allah Ta'ala made it. Now this is, we see the system of Allah working, which is being illustrated here. Allah made it that a group of thieves went and made their hideout in the top of the mountain there. And when they went, they made their hideout, somebody reported to the police that these crooks here, highway robbers, hijacking and whatever they are doing, they are there. So the police went there to search for them. When they went there, they found this Buzurg first. So they caught him first. And every innocent person or every thief also, he always wants to show his innocence. The more he's telling them that he's not a thief, the more they're becoming convinced he is one of them. So then they caught him and they gave him the first punishment by cutting his one hand and one leg off. So when they cut that off, a passerby who knew him, he told the police commissioner that what have you done here with this man? This is a kutub. His izzat was in the eyes of the people. He was a great buzurg. He's an abdal. He's a kutub. And what have you people done? And if Allah's punishment is going to come on you, what is going to happen to you? The police commissioner ran and asked for forgiveness from this person. That we made a mistake, that we caught the wrong person, and we gave you the severe punishment of your hand and your leg cutting it off. Please forgive us. If you don't forgive us, now immediately Allah's punishment will come down upon us. But he was a true Allah-wala. But there was this one few things lacking. These are things that are stopping us from our progress also. We don't know what it is. We have to ask Allah Ta'ala. So what did he say? He says, it's not your fault at all. Outwardly, you are the cause. Like a person who is whipping you, stupid is that person who will go and fight with the whip. What is the whip? The whip is just, it is being used by somebody else. The person who's using the whip, if you can go and fight with him. So all this that is happening in the dunya is the whip of Allah. And we want to go and fight the whip. It's coming from Allah Ta'ala. Please Allah, make Allah happy and then he won't use the whip anymore. So he says, this what you have done is just an outward form. But it is coming from Allah and it is because of my guna. He says, my first wrong, which we won't even term as a guna, is that I did not say inshallah. I did not depend on Allah Ta'ala. And today these things are out of our language. Tomorrow I'm going here, tomorrow I'm going to do this, next week I'm going to do that. Next year I've got these plans. There is no inshallah in our language. We can do everything. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion forgot to say inshallah. And Allah stopped wahi for 18 days or up to 40 days according to the riwayah. And the wahi that was stopped, we know in our homes we have a little quarrel sometimes. Husband and wife have a quarrel. Now you're not talking to each other. At night when you're sleeping, you turn one side, she turns the other side. You know how miserable those days pass. Whether it's one night, whether it's a week, whether it's 2 days. And the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Allah Ta'ala, and for 18 days no contact. And then, for not only that, then the kuffar of Makkah started saying, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his Allah also has left him now. Na'uzu billah, he's such a rejected person, that his Allah also has rejected him. How can you hear that? If you have got a fight at home, while it's at home, it's at home, nobody knows. But when people start talking about it, people start making gossip about it, then you can't take it. So the kuffar of Makkah started making a big gossip about it. And they started pointing fingers at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Just because Allah's Nabi at one time slipped up and did not say inshaAllah. So there, how important that is. So these simple words, mashaAllah, it comes. That what Ni'mat Allah has given you, your beautiful home, your children, your business, whatever it is, your car, a person will say, Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah, that will never be taken from. So we think it of as a small matter. Hazrat Ahmed Barakatum over and over. Any person, something of praise in that person, Allah, Hazrat will tell all to say MashaAllah. So much so, when Hazrat gives a good talk, Hazrat tells all of us to tell Hazrat MashaAllah. Because nazar of anyone can fall. So these are very, very important things. InshaAllah, MashaAllah, Assalamu Alaikum when we enter the house. Bismillah is such an important thing. For every act of ours to say Bismillah. But if we think to ourselves, when do we say Bismillah? We sit in the car, one Bismillah, even if we don't read the Sunnah du'as, we must read them. But just remembering Allah and saying Bismillah, Allah's help is with that person. When we enter our home, say Bismillah and see Allah's help. Every action of ours. So this was that one thing that was missing from this buzur. The other thing was that he depended upon himself. And from that, Allah Ta'ala gave him this one punishment of after the other. But he turned to Allah. When the police commissioner came and asked him forgiveness, he did not find fault with him. He said, it is my fault and Allah has just used you to punish me. And I have to correct myself. When a person has got ta'alluq with Allah, no matter what calamity comes, he will realize where his faults lie. He will analyze them and he will correct himself. And when a person hasn't got ta'alluq and he makes a mistake, he'll find the fault in the next person. Which is so common. A problem in the house, then we will come roaring down upon the wife. It's you who has done this. You are the cause of this. The boss will blame the worker. The one person will blame the other. Nobody is prepared to take the blame. Everyone is blaming the next person. But when we realize our ta'alluq with Allah, we will realize it's my mistake. So much so that if a person, it comes in the kitabs of the buzurgs, you made your tahajjud namaz and you're leaving your house now to go for fajr and a dog barks at you. And if you think that, what is this dog here? I'm a wali, I make tahajjud. And now the dog is barking at me, your tahajjud has got no value. And if you realize immediately that I'm a crook, I'm a thief, I'm a sinner, I'm the worst, and this dog has found my fault, and the dog is telling me about my mistakes and my faults, then you are somewhere in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Towards the end, Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali then says that there are many people who, for example, are not pabund on deen at all, but they are crying to Allah. All the time they're feeling guilty. Like people say, what are we? Maulana, you are everything. Your du'as, Maulana, you must make du'a. And that person says, we are the worst sinners. If Maulana feels he is somebody, he is nothing in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. And that person who says, I am nothing, I don't even make my namazes properly, I'm very bad, and he's guilty, and he's got a true, genuine, guilty conscience on him. He's very high in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, many times it happens, especially we are coming to majlis, for example. Allah gave us tawfiq, our beards according to sunnah. We are wearing kurta, we are dressing according to deen. And if we think ourselves better than the person who is not coming, a person who is in a Darul Uloom, who's learning, who's teaching, a person who goes in Jamaat regularly, keeps his 40 days, 4 months, gushed everything, and he feels, look at these other people. What are they? They are nothing. That person is much more higher by Allah Ta'ala than what we are. That person at that time can be in the bar, in the shabeen, but he's feeling guilty about his position. And we've got our amamas, our kurtas, tasbih, zikr, tilawat, bayan all the time. People are praising us all the time, and we think we are somebody, and we look down upon that person. We are nowhere in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. That one qissa of that person, he passed away in a town, and nobody was prepared to go and perform his, to go and give ghusl, kafan, nothing. So his wife, when she saw that nobody is coming to the house, because his condition was like that, she hired four laborers that they must give him ghusl, kafan, and she told them, take him to the qabristan, and if somebody comes who can make janaza namaz, let them make his janaza namaz, and if nobody comes, bury him just like that. When his kafan was done, everything, and his janaza was in the qabristan, Allah put it in the wali of the heart of the wali of the town, that my great buzurg, my great wali, his janaza is in the qabristan, go and perform his janaza namaz. When he went there, because he was famous amongst the people, the whole town followed him. And when they came there, they found it was the janaza of this person. They were all shocked, but it was Allah put it in that great buzurg's heart, and he performed the janaza namaz. After that, they went to the wife and they asked her, What was his condition? She said, all of you know what his condition was. He used to drink till late at night, and in his singing and merry making, he used to pass till the early hours of the morning, and then he used to come in sleep. But he used to get up very early Fajr time. Then he used to take his cold shower bath. And then I used to be making a dua all the time that, Ya Allah, in which corner of Jahannam are you going to throw me? That guilty conscious of his all the time. That was one thing I knew about him. And the other thing, our house never stayed without an orphan child. He always kept an orphan child and looked after that orphan child. So outwardly, what was his condition? But that when the person feels guilty like this, and it doesn't mean now we also become sinners and feel guilty. With your piety feels sinful. That is achievement. That you're pleasing Allah, you're making the effort of deen more, sunnats you're bringing in your life, you're getting up for tahajjud, but that sinful feeling is on the person. Which, in other words, Hazrat tells us many times, and it's part of our ma'amulat also, which Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said, that daily, even one time, just think this much, that, oh Allah, of all the Muslims presently, I am the worst. Because I don't know which guna of mine displeases you, and I've got no value in your eyes. And that other Muslim that appears to be so sinful, but which naki in him you know and you love him, I don't know. So I am the worst of all the Muslims. And as far as death is concerned, I'm worse than all the kafirs and animals also. Because I don't know that kafir can perhaps just accept Islam. Hazrat always quotes, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanatwi rahmatullah alayhi saw in his dream, one Lalaji Hindu in Jannat. He said, Lalaji, you Hindu and you here in Jannat? Lalaji said, I read Kalima just before I died. I accepted Islam. So we don't know whose mort is going to come in what condition. And how is our mort going to come? We don't know. And an animal is better than us if our mort, Allah save us, doesn't come on Iman. That animal will just be changed into dust and finish its hisab kitab is done. Allah save us, if mort doesn't come on Iman, we will have to go to Jahannam forever. So if a person thinks like, just that, ponders about that, one half a minute, 15 seconds, inshallah Allah will save that person of pride. So we must try with our neki as much as possible, but never look down upon the next person. And how does it come? For that a person needs a sheikh. Otherwise a person cannot diagnose his own illness. Once a group of ulama, many years ago we went in Jamaat to Durban. We went by country in Nanda mein, Hazrat ke Khalifa, Munshi Sahib, Rahmatullah alayh. So Munshi Sahib, in his humility, he said, you people are ulama, you people have come out in the path of Allah. Everything in his humility, which is right. One friend of ours said, Baharhal, aap kabhi koi maqam hai. Which means, after all, you also have some position. These words mean, we have got position. And you also have got some position. So a person trying to recognize his disease, Hazrat says, Lord, Ra'yul Alil Alil. The diagnosis of a sick person is also sick. You need a healthy person, a doctor to diagnose. If you are sick and you diagnose yourself, your diagnosis is also sick, it is also wrong. You need a healthy person to diagnose you. That is why a sheikh is absolutely necessary. Whatever field of deen we are in, and as much of work of deen we are doing, that we don't recognize this. And the shuyukh can see it very clearly. That where the pride is in within us, that is why sohbat, contact. And when we make our errors, because if you meet somebody in 5 minutes, that will come out which is in 5 minutes, what transpires between you. You stay 5 hours, more is going to come out. You stay 5 years, even more is going to come out. That is one great thing in the Jamaat, where every person practically has to give a talk on Iman. So whatever is from inside is coming out now. So your weaknesses, either you are going to speak the wrong beliefs perhaps which are inside, and somebody will correct you. Or now because you are trained and you say that the certain thing, as you say them, that reality comes in you. But as long as a person stays in his own, he's a Sufi sahab in the corner of the masjid making his zikr dua. If he, for example, doesn't believe in taqdeer, who is going to pick it up? He's going to live with that belief of kufr, and he will die with that belief of kufr, which will be so dangerous. So many other things. So when a person stays in sohbat, in company, then these things come out. And a person corrects himself. So from this story of Zahid-e-Kuhi, there are great lessons for us to learn. That what is our preparation for akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala save us from those diseases. And like him, in all piety it was, but there's weaknesses with it. Also from here we learn, of course, there are various causes for a person's, for difficulties that come in a person's life. But many times a pious person also, and some problems come in his life. There are certain problems which are in his life, because of which these problems. It could be Allah, we must see when we see somebody else's case, that it is Allah wants to give him a higher stage. That's why Allah is giving him this difficulty. But for our own sake, whenever a problem comes, let us think that I must have done something wrong. And not only something wrong, like many people say, I don't know what guna I made that now this problem has come in my life. Hazrat Ahmad Barakatum says, what are you saying, what guna? Your whole life is full of guna. You are worried of one guna which you might have made. Our whole lives are full of gunas. When we worry, looking for one guna, when it is completely dark, then where are we looking for one darkness? It's darkness from every side.
Like for example, does Allah exist? That's a thought of kufr. It's not kufr. A person hasn't, na'uzu billah, become a kafir. But sometimes shaitan brings these thoughts. Just like that it comes to an individual. Or perhaps due to events that take place. And the way people are talking generally, and minds get poisoned, then these thoughts come to a person. And radio stations, newspapers, magazines, their object is to provoke such thoughts of kufr in the minds of people. Like andar mein to zarurat nahi hai, andar mein to zarurat nahi. So if a disaster, for example, takes place, then an article comes or a program on a radio that these were innocent poor people and they got all drowned in a flood. So na'uzu billah that Allah Ta'ala is unfair. Or does Allah exist? If Allah was existing, he shouldn't have allowed this to happen. Thoughts like that. Or a person has got a major problem, illness, whatever else, financial, and is making lot of dua, and he doesn't see his dua being answered, then also such thoughts shaitan brings. Or a calamity in the house, somebody has passed away, a terrible accident takes place, fire breaks out, Allah Ta'ala save us all. But when such things happen, shaitan brings these thoughts. So, or for example, is there life in the qabr? Shaitan, sometimes a person hears a talk of iman, and his iman becomes strong, and he gets convinced that this is the way. Sometimes a person, for example, takes out his children from school and puts them in madrasa. Now family pressure, friends pressure comes that you are destroying the future of the child. That tomorrow, especially if it's a girl, that if that girl husband turns her out of the house, then who? Islam and the Muslims are going to come and feed her. Such, the people start talking like that. So then a person starts doubting. So the thoughts of kufr come to a person. Shaitan will come. Min sharril waswasil khannas min al jinnati wan nas. Shaitan comes in the form of the jinnat and in the form of people also. And they will bring such thoughts. So kufr ya guna ke wasawis ke waqt ye parna sunnat hai. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. I seek refuge from Allah Ta'ala from the accursed shaitan. If a person will read that, Allah Ta'ala will protect a person. Hazrat Damat Barakatum explains that one great shaykh, can't remember the name, he came and he asked the sheikh, shaitan came and asked the sheikh that, won't Allah have mercy on me in the year after also? The sheikh said, you are accursed. You are in the lanat of Allah. There is no question of Allah having mercy upon me. Then shaitan presented the ayat of the Quran, wa rahmati wasi'at kull shay. My mercy will envelope everything. So am I not a thing also? And Allah Ta'ala's law He has declared, that His mercy is going to envelop everything. The Shaykh told his murids that don't answer Shaitan. He will lead you on such a chakkar that you will get completely mixed up. But at such a time, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, that Allah save us from the accursed Shaitan. Every person's knowledge is not to that extent. Shaitan's knowledge is very great. His knowledge is very great, and everyone won't have that knowledge. And when you don't have that knowledge, then don't even get involved in a discussion of a masala with a fellow Muslim also. Or you don't have that amount of knowledge, don't try and even defend the sunnah in front of a modernist, for example. Because you might say something of kufr, he might say something of kufr. You might brand him as a kafir, and he's not a kafir. And if you tell anyone he's a kafir, and that person is not a kafir, it returns to the person who said it. So this person, in all his earnestness and his sincerity of practicing on deen, can brand himself a kafir in that way. So it's not advisable, if a person doesn't have that knowledge, to fall into arguments and discussions with Christians, with Jews, with atheists. It's rather carry on with your own work. So this is a golden rule which the Shaykh said to his disciples, to his murids. We can perhaps, due to the weakness of our thinking, declare it as a weakness of the Shaykh. But this is a golden rule, that when you do not have sufficient knowledge, don't fall into a discussion. And we like to fall into discussions. Right? 1 hour, 2 hours we will pass. And if a person make tilawat in that time, that won't come to our mind. A person sit and make zikr, that won't come to our mind. Or somebody who is in a position to accept, when give him da'wah, explain to him, a talk of deen to that person, that is going to be much, much more beneficial. And in our times, in fact, if there is nothing else to do, just go and sleep away. That is a greater ibadat than falling into all these things. Rather have your good sleep, that is much better. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi narrates this, and then he says, by the barakat of that Shaykh, of that great Buzurg, Allah put the answer in my mind. And what was the answer? That, like if a police arrests somebody, and the ruling, the judgment is given, give him 100 lashes. And then they give him only 80 lashes. That is also mercy. The 20 lashes they dropped, that is a mercy from the police, from the government, from the authorities. So whatever punishment Shaitan is going to get in Jahannam, Allah has the power to give him more than that. And that Allah is not going to give him more, it's also Allah's mercy. He will be in severe punishment, but Allah's mercy will be on him also, that Allah could give him even more than that punishment. So, therefore, this is a wonderful remedy. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Hazrat Ahmed Barakatum also explains it very beautifully, that every person in the world, a person who has got some riches, wealth, etc. especially, a person of position has got some security. For example, they keep dogs, and if it is people of higher position, more wealth, they get some foreign bred dogs. Dogs which are very, very severe, etc. Now if you go to that person's house, and the dog is there, or his security person is there, and you can interfere with him, he's got his gun ready loaded for firing at any time. Or the dog, you can interfere with the dog, they will attack you directly. But if you draw the attention of the person you have gone to visit, by ringing the doorbell, or whichever way, making a phone call before you going, and he comes out to receive you. So now he'll just look at the dogs, just tell it one word, or he'll use some code for the security person, and they will open your way. Now, in fact, they will serve you, and they will open the way and let you come in. Just like that, with Shaitan, Allah is the greatest, and the biggest dog is Allah Ta'ala's, and that is Shaitan. Allah doesn't need any protection, there is an example. Allah doesn't need any security. But, on the other hand, Allah is not so easy to get. To get Allah Ta'ala, a person will have to bypass Shaitan. It's only Shaitan in our nafs that are keeping us away
from Allah Ta'ala.
So how to bypass them? If we will go and fight shaitan directly, and even the nafs, you go and fight it directly, you will lose. It's a losing battle. Get the help of Allah Ta'ala, and once Allah Ta'ala tells shaitan to get out of the way, then your way is clear to reach Allah Ta'ala. So, and the way to get Allah's help, that secret code, to press that button, is A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. I seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala from the accursed shaitan. That, oh Allah, I don't have the means to fight shaitan. You remove him from my path. And if a person like that, in that same way also, if in namaz, various thoughts come to a person. So here also the instruction is that don't go and fight those thoughts. The example of that is, like if you're walking on the road and a dog is barking at you, the more you're going to pay attention to that dog, the more it's going to bark at you and come to you. The same thing with little children. They like to tease elderly people, and they find any small thing to tease them. And if you pay attention to those children and try and chase them away, then the more they enjoy it, and the more they will want to come after you. Joha is a comedian in Arabic literature. There is a little story written about him. He had a fruit tree in his garden in front. So the children should come and eat the fruit of the tree, and he wanted them to eat. But whenever they came, and then he used to chase them away. So somebody told him that when you want them to eat, why are you chasing them away? He says, their nafsiyat, their psychology works like this. If I don't chase them, they won't come and eat anymore. But they enjoy that when I chase them away, then they wait for me just to go in the house and they come again. And they take some fruit and they, when I come out, then they run away. So the more you interfere with them, the more they trouble you. Shaitan is the same. Little children are the same. A dog is the same. And you don't pay any attention to them, they won't trouble you. So with shaitan also, Hazrat Ahmed Barakatum also says that these wasawis which come in namaz, etc. at other time, don't pay much attention. Many people suffer from depression because they make that depression a major thing. Don't pay any much attention to it. Carry on with your work. Change your thoughts into something else. The greatest is zikr, and everyone is not accustomed to the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So think of something else, any jais thing. Take a book and read about some beautiful scenery, read about the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Just turn your mind away and those thoughts will go away. Again shaitan is going to attack, he's going to try. But you'll do this for a while and you'll see Allah will relieve you. This wasawis, this evil thoughts, bad thoughts that come to a person, and many a person complains about this. As a person becomes conscious of deen, he realizes this thing and he starts complaining about it. But it isn't anything major. And from depression, all this, a person can easily get relieved of it when he will pay his attention to something else. So one great thing that we have been taught, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. The other is, Aamantu Billahi Wa Rusulih. That I believe in Allah, Wa Rusulihi, what a pesh on the Ra, is the plural. Wa Rusulih. That I believe in Allah and all His Rasuls. That also it has the effect that Allah Ta'ala will save that person of these wasawis. دوسری سنت یہ ہے کہ ذات حق تعالی میں غور نہ کریں. The other is never think in Allah Himself. Think in the creation of Allah, but don't think in Allah Himself. تفکر کا تعلق خلق سے ہے نہ خالق سے. Pondering, to make tafakkur, to ponder, it has to do with the creation of Allah, not with Allah Himself. Don't ponder in Allah Himself, that how is Allah, since when is Allah, etc. But ponder in the creation of Allah Ta'ala. نَا كِ خَالِقْ سَي كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى شَأْنَهُ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That the people of Iman, they ponder, they make tafakkur, they meditate on the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And from there, you will reach and you will recognize Allah Ta'ala. A poet says that, oh Allah, you do not come in my mind, you come into my heart. That is what a person's brain, he cannot fathom Allah Ta'ala. That is, you cannot analyze and work out who is Allah. Because it comes in a hadith also, when you start pondering in Allah, shaitan will take you that Allah has created everything, who has created Allah. That every person has got parents, na'uzu billah, who are the parents of Allah. So shaitan will lead you astray if you will think about Allah Ta'ala himself. Think about the creation of Allah Ta'ala, and from there you will recognize Allah Ta'ala. Also, Hazrat Ahmed Barakatuhum says that in the hadith it comes that Alhamdulillah alladhi radda kaid ash-shayateen shaytan ila al-waswasa, or kama qal. That all praise is due to Allah Ta'ala, that he has only given shaytan the qudrat, the power of putting an evil thought in you. Shaitan hasn't got the power. Hazrat says that he will take somebody up from the majlis now and take him to a cinema, or take him by force now to go and do something else. That power shaitan hasn't got. All that he does is puts a thought in you, an evil thought. Then it is up to you to act on that thought or to reject it and throw it out. But he hasn't got the power. And in the same way, jadu, etc., all these things don't have the power to destroy a person. And they can't do anything. Even shaitan's effects cannot do anything without the command of Allah. A person must realize Allah's command is above everything. Medicine also, which we accept, it's sunnah to make ilaj, but we accept that many medicine hasn't got the effect to harm a person or to benefit a person. It is what effect Allah is going to put in there that is going to benefit a person or it can harm a person. Food cannot benefit a person without Allah's hukam. In the same way, sahar, Allah says very clearly in the Quran, وَمَا يَضُرُّونَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that they cannot cause any harm but by the command of Allah Ta'ala. So our ta'alluq must be stronger with Allah Ta'ala, and we must not worry about these things. Everything is in the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So this is a very great, and many, many people suffer from this, the evil thoughts. Whether it is about kufriyat, whether it is about shirk, whether it is that somebody else is planning against us. Many people in family problems, lot of family problems, that the other family, they are planning against us, they're doing us this harm, they're talking this evil about us all the time, and then we are obsessed with this. Just discard those thoughts and make yourself a happier person. A person who falls into these thoughts himself and is overtaken by these thoughts becomes a miserable person. His own life is miserable. What his wife he can't love happily, what his children, what his friends he can't love happily. We call it depression now. Wife says the husband is very depressed. Husband says, don't speak to me, don't come by me, I'm very depressed today. And you're just miserable all the time. And just discard those thoughts and be happy. Hazrat Ahmed Barakatuhum says so much that stay happy all the time. Make Allah's ibadat, stay away from guna and stay happy. The people who come in contact with you will also be happy to be with you. You will also feel nice. And that is, in Urdu they say, aksir, such a alchemy for everything, for good health also. A person who is miserable all the time, his health also is not good. And Hazrat says, meal times, don't talk of anything like that. When you start getting tense, then you can't enjoy your food doesn't get digested properly. And when food is not digested, that is the beginning of ill health. At all other times, if a person is tense, that person can't enjoy anything. So a person has to be very relaxed. And this relaxation, it stems from the mind. And when the mind is occupied in all these things, when shaitan, if we give in to him, we pay more attention to him, and he brings the thoughts of kufr, a person is going to get depressed. If a person, when shaitan brings the thoughts that what's going to happen in the future, what is going to happen to my children, the way the country is going 15 years from now, what is going to happen to my daughter, what will be the condition? That is not at all what we have to worry. Trust in Allah Ta'ala. Build your iman. Prepare your children on those lines. And you have got no worries. Okay? And that person lives happily. And after all, one person, there were two crooks in a place. And they used to rob, plunder everything.
Then the people caught up with them, and both of them ran away. One ran towards the seashore, and one ran towards in the jungle. The fellow who ran towards the seashore, when he came there was a ship there, and he boarded the ship, and he got away like that. The ship went for a while, and then the ship came in trouble in the water. And there was a fear that this ship is going to sink, all the people are going to drown. This person had nothing to live for, and he was not worried. He was a robber, he was a person who lived a very simple life. So he climbed to the top of the ship, and with his guitar or whatever, he had a musical instrument, he started playing it and singing, and he's joyous and happy. All the people are making dua, they're making tawbah, they're crying, it's the last minutes. Allah Ta'ala made it, the whole ship got saved, nothing happened. So then it came in the heart of all those people, this must be a very great buzur, that he wasn't worried at all. He knew what's going to happen. This is what people, the criteria, that he knew what's going to happen. So he knew what's going to happen, he wasn't worried, he must be a very great buzur. So they all came and they made him a big buzur. And then he started living like a buzur in his place also. He had his majlis, he had all his murids, people used to come there. And from where it started, that he had no depression, no worry. So you don't have any worry, you'll become a buzurg like that also. So he was having his majlis one day, his other friend who ran into the jungle came there, and he recognized this chap. He said, "This is our that crook friend, and today he's got a big majlis here and everything." So, and he recognized him. And then he thought now he's going to let the cat out of the bag. So he told him, and he was a stranger there, nobody knew him, and out of the whole big crowd, Sheikh Sab told that person, "Idhar ajana." So they thought he's also a big buzurg, that he recognized him. So he took him and he says, "This is what happened to me. What's your position?" He says, "I've still got nothing." He says, "Okay, I give you now khilafat also." So you start your thing also. So this is just a story of this false buzurgs. But a person, if he hasn't got this worry, if he puts his trust in Allah, Allah will take a person very far. His health will remain good. He will stay happy. And where our trust is with Allah Ta'ala. We went with Hazrat to the Kruger Park in December, was it over? So when we were in White River the night, we slept there. It's the low felt, but there was such thunder that night. Yeah, in the high felt, I don't remember hearing such thunder. It was almost as if it was rolling over the heads, middle of the night. The next morning, Hazrat, when I went to him, he said, somebody told him, I think Maulana Yunus's son, he says that you were just snoring away, you weren't worried. I said, Hazrat, no, I woke up. But then I thought, my Hazrat is with me, why must I worry? Whatever wants to happen, let it happen. I'm with my Hazrat. And I fell asleep again and I was snoring and I was gone. So Hazrat says, that is my case also. And I'm with my Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haqsa. I board a plane, I don't worry now. Whatever can happen in this plane, I'm with my Shaykh. So if a person, our ta'alluq with Allah really. A Shaykh is just the means of our ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. If we have our trust in Allah, whatever Allah wishes, what we have to do, let us do our share as far as we can. On the other hand, whatever Allah wishes, that will happen. So if a person adopts this attitude, his life becomes very, very easy. And then Allah takes care of his matters also. When a child puts his trust in the father sees to all his matters. If the wife acts a little bit like stupid, naive, doesn't know what to do, then the husband doesn't give her work. The husband does all her work. But when she acts clever, the husband gives her more and more work to do. But when she acts, "No, I can't do anything, I don't know what to do, how to do." And in fact, when she spoils something also, then we don't give them work anymore also. We do the work. So hand your work to Allah Ta'ala. Tell Allah, "We are weak, we can't do anything. Our children, we can't look after ourselves. We worried of our children 15 years from now. What's going to happen in the future?" Leave it to Allah Ta'ala. Allah will take care of everything. And that is what Allah loves. And one great dua, وَفَوِّذُوا أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And I hand my matters all over to Allah Ta'ala. My one dua I make a lot, especially in Ramzan, whenever such special occasions with regard to the madrasa, I tell Allah that we are spoilers. We spoil everything. The whole madrasa, the whole madrasa is in your hands. You look after the madrasa. Which students must come, which ustads must be here, the money that has to come in, oh Allah, you take in charge of everything. So just hand over all our matters to Allah, then we will be just figures there. And Allah is doing everything, and that is the reality also.
So if a person thinks, oh, I must do everything, and he sits with that worry on his head, that person can't sleep anymore, just running his home, just his job in a factory where he's working, forget running his own business, that becomes too much for him. And he gets too worried when we think we are the doers. We are not Khuda. Leave Allah's work, leave it to Him. Hand over everything to Allah Ta'ala and see how easy our work becomes. That is with regard to security also. If we think we're going to secure ourselves, our homes, and I must do the best and I must do everything, we'll see how we fail. But leave it to Allah Ta'ala, and when we leave things to Allah Ta'ala, Allah shows His Qudra. Allah Ta'ala, at the time of the birth of Islam, the mighty powers were the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, like that. From dunya's point of view, if we go and see, Allah should start the work of Islam from the Roman Empire. They had all the means, the Persian Empire, but Allah started it from the Arabs. And they were those people that these empires used to tell them, Antum abidu abidina, you are the slaves of our slaves. You are such people that you are not even fit that we must rule over you. Our slaves, the king of Yemen, they will rule over you. They will collect taxes from you. The work of Tabligh, if we see, Allah Ta'ala should have started it from Darul Uloom Deoband. Allah should have started it from Makkah, from Medina. Allah started it from Mewat. Those people who, as far as financially is concerned, as far as their deeni life is concerned, their knowledge about dunya, they knew nothing about dunya also. In fact, when I was there in Nizamuddin, about say 10 years ago or so, that one time, I think Maulana Ahmad Lat or Maulana Musa Samradi called one of these Mewatis and said, now this is what you call a Mewati. He's the simplicity in him, his lungi, he got 10 patches in it, his one kurta, very, very simple, down to earth. These were the type of people. But Allah took work from them, and the work spread right to the sophisticated countries of Europe, America, etc. And all the people are in the work and changing their lives. So Allah's Qudrat is above everything. If we learn to hand our matters, dunya's matters also, our business matters also, as far as sabab is concerned, we have to do our things. But asbab ko asbab ke darje mein rakho. Asbab ko arbab ke darje mat do. Means, keep them as far as means. Don't put them in the position of Allah Ta'ala. They are just means. Leave them as means. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this reality. If this comes in a person, his life becomes much, much more comfortable, easier, enjoyable. In the same way, to this extent, that our buzurgs, if a person, for example, overslept for Fajr, a person feels sorry, but you don't have to be depressed to such an extent now that you can't do anything. You don't want to talk to anyone. Now you are just, you don't want to talk to your wife also. You don't want to talk to anyone. Allah meant it that way. Accept it like that. Even your namaz became qaza. Allah save us. A person falls in a guna. Make tawbah and finish. Correct your contact with Allah Ta'ala. You don't have to go chiding yourself so much now that you don't not eating food, you're not sleeping anymore, anything. Make tawbah. Guna was made, it was made. Make tawbah, finish, and carry on with life. Right? We are not here, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda say, Allah hasn't created us for us to remember our gunas. Sometimes a person in his youth had a very bad life. He committed lots of gunas. Now we're just thinking of that gunas. Allah created us to remember Allah, not to remember our gunas. You made your sincere tawbah, you corrected yourself, you missed your namazes, you made your qaza-i umri, you missed rozas, you covered up your rozas, you robbed people, you deceived, you fixed that up, you mended your ways, you paid them back everything. That's finished now, tawbah is done. Now carry on with your life. That is a very, very important thing. In this kitab further, ek aitiraz aur uska jawab. Ab koi aitiraz kar sakta hai, ke dunya ki muhabbat na hogi, to dunya hasil kaise hogi? It came previously that a person, hubbud dunya ra'su kulli khatiyah. Love of this dunya is the root of all evil. So somebody might say, if you don't love this dunya, then how are we going to earn if you don't love this dunya? Or Musalman dusri qaumon ki muqable mein roz baroz ghatta chala jayega.
And the Muslims' position will decrease compared to other nations. They are going to make effort of dunya. They are going to have everything at their disposal. Muslims are going to be weak. Economically, they are going to become weaker all the time. When they are going to be economically weak,